podcast party. Descent into Avernus. My name is Bane-Bearer Corbin Shiv. My friends and I have been sent back into the past to try and defend the village of Idleglen against a demon attack. We've been holding our own, but now we're up against Garaknu, the champion of Yanagu.
All right, so we're starting our next round here. Ophelia, you're up.
So I want to attack the last remaining dretch with Thunderclap.
That's a DC 16 con save that the dretch needs to make.
It rolled an 18.
It doesn't take any damage. I want to keep moving past the dretch, remaining within 5 feet of it.
Corbin Shiv, you're up.
Corbin is going to push forward another 30 feet. We have the new combatant way to the north, past the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see this horrendous looking six-armed demon that's bearing down.
Corbin sees that and goes, oh shit. And he's going to use his channel divinity. Orange twilight will circle all around him, and I will use my twilight sanctuary. My pillow is like really far away. Can I just move it up and try to hit that dretch? That's a natural 20 for a 29.
Oh yeah, you absolutely cremate this thing. I got him.
I'm also gonna roll my temporary hit points for this round. Everyone in the Twilight Sanctuary will get 17 temporary hit points.
Hylan, it's your turn. Now, note you are poisoned by the absolutely terrible stench coming off of this demon.
Yes, so I have disadvantage on attack rolls, right?
Attack rolls, that's correct, yes.
Yes. Okay, well, I'm going to bonus action disengage because I believe I'm sort of at the same level with this thing now because it climbed up the statue, correct?
Yes, that's right.
It can hit me from where it is, and it has this effect on me. So I'm going to bonus action disengage and fly 30 feet. I went southwest heading towards the Twilight Sanctuaries. I hope to get back in it at some point. And now I'm going to throw a psychic blade at the Hezra. That's a 23 to hit.
Well, you have disadvantage, unfortunately, so you will have to
roll
it again.
That's right. I got to roll again. I'm poisoned. 17 to hit?
A 17 still hits, though.
Fantastic. So that's 6 psychic damage because I can't get sneak attack on this. So
that's right.
It is what it is, and I'll stay where I am.
Can you just clarify how high up the statue the Hezra has climbed? Like, how far is it from the ground?
Yeah, sure. So the statue itself is 30 feet tall. The Hezra has climbed up 15 feet.
Got it. I'm going to charge up next to Corbin, and I flip my hand upside down, make the devil sign, and cast Hex on the Hezra. I'm hexing it for strength, and then I fire 3 Eldritch Blasts at it. First shot is a 10.
Unfortunately, that will not hit.
Second shot is an 18.
That will hit.
Third shot is a 21.
All right, so 2 out of the 3 will hit.
Okay, that is a total of 8 force damage, but it is also going to take 2d6 necrotic from the hex. So another 8 necrotic, that'll be 16 damage total. And that is my turn.
There is an intense, shrill cry of hatred as Garaknul moves past several burning trees and houses swiftly into the fray. Straight into your spirit guardians, not seeming to give a fuck. He's not close enough to you yet, but he will double move to get to you. And he sort of interposes himself between you and that poor dog who's right behind him.
He needs a wisdom saving throw. Also, he's half movement when he hits the Spirit Guardians.
He still was able to make it to you, but yes, you are correct. All right, wisdom saving throw as soon as he enters, correct?
Yep, DC 17.
I got a 21.
Well, he's still going to take 9 radiant damage.
It is now the Hezru's turn. The Hezru doesn't have any targets in his range right now. The only target that he could possibly get to at this point is Hylan. But Hylan's flying. How high up off the ground are you? Are you flying, Hylan?
I'm like 20 feet, I think.
The Hezru will climb along the statue's arm and just try to jump, full on, just jump at you, Hylan, and try to tackle you in midair.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I'm going to have it make a strength athletics roll. to see if it can make the jump. Pretty sure it can, but we'll see.
Oh, it does have disadvantage on that because I did just hex it.
Oh, that's true. You did.
Awesome.
Well, it rolled a natural one with disadvantage. Yeah, it's like he jumps like and like its legs just give out halfway, and there's a sickening squelch as it hits the ground 15 feet down.
Wow.
He'll take some bludgeoning damage from that. Takes 4 bludgeoning damage. It does see that Garak Nul is engaged right now with Renaissance and Corbin. Yeah, it will use all of its remaining movement to just run directly and support Garak Nul where Renaissance and Corbin are.
Yeah, it is in the Spirit Guardians. DC 17, Wisdom.
Fails with a 6.
This is not a great round for him.
No.
Oh.
You can give him 18 radiant damage. Hopefully that hurts a little extra.
We're back to the top of the round. Ophelia, you're up.
Okay, Ophelia is going to run 30 feet and dash another 30 feet.
There she is.
Hi, guys.
I see her.
Corbin is going to... Shit.
You hear Renaissance shout, focus fire on the Hezro. The Hezro, take it down.
All right.
So Corbin is just going to... Excuse me. He's going to sidestep a little bit around Garfunkel.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Isn't that his name?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's within 10 feet of that guy who just fell on his ass. And he's going to try to hit him with his Hellfire Warhammer.
And that's a 9.
9 will miss, sir. I'm sorry.
Bonus action. He is going to cast at 2nd level. Spiritual weapon. I'm just going to get rid of the other one and move it right on the other side of the Hezru demon. And he's going to take a shot at him with that. A 15?
A 15 will not hit.
Oh, shit, not doing much.
And that is my turn.
We're back to Hylan.
Okay, I'm going to fly 5 feet up in the air, and then I'm going to fly horizontally to the west 25 more feet, so I use my 30 feet of movement. I am going to take out my dragon's wrath dagger. I'm going to point it straight down. My eyes are going to glow blue, and I'm going to unleash destructive energy from the weapon. Each creature in the area must make a DC 16 dex saving throw, and I'm going to only include these 2 demons in my radius.
It's also worth mentioning that because you're high up enough, you are no longer poisoned by the stench from the Hezru demon. It only lasted till the start of your next turn, and you're no longer in its 10-foot aura radius, so you're no longer poisoned.
I feel much better. I'm sure they're very dexterous.
Well, when you're a toad demon, it's hard to be dexterous. It fails. However, Garak Nul, this champion of Yinagu, is much more wily, and so it dodges and succeeds on its dexterity saving throw.
The frog demon takes 27 radiant damage, and also an additional 12 radiant damage because my wings are out. Garak Nul made the save, so Garak Nul will take 13 radiant damage, and that's my turn.
You should have 17 temps, too.
Fantastic, thank you.
Renaissance, it's your turn.
Matt, since we've looped a full round, can we just assume that the dog has disengaged and run away because it's making me nervous that it's just sitting?
Oh, you know what? That's a fair point. Yes, I will say that the dog knows what's up and runs. You do, in fact, however, see that as the dog runs to the door, that a woman has come out of that building. And she has dark skin, braided hair, and she's wearing vestments of some kind of clergy. If you want, you can make, all of you, if you watched the dog run to her, you can make a quick religion check.
Corbin got a 12 on religion.
Renaissance got a 6. He's pretty distracted.
Hylan got a 21.
Ophelia got a 23.
Yeah, Ophelia, although you are far behind all the rest of them, maybe because Corbin and Renaissance are so focused on defending themselves against these demons, you watch the dog as well. Hylan, you follow the path of this dog all the way to the temple entrance, and you see this woman. You can tell that her vestments are that of the god Lathander.
Mm.
All right, Renaissance, back to you.
Am I close enough to this thing that it stinks?
You are not close enough to the Hezru. That is okay. That is for sure.
Got it.
You are 20 feet from it.
Well, I'm about to fix that.
All right.
So I squeeze through the difficult terrain that is Corbin.
What? That's my foot.
I'm staying engaged with Garak Nul, but I'm just squeezing past Corbin so that I can also reach the Hezro, and I will start swinging at the Hezro with Heaven's Fall. First attack is a 25.
That'll hit.
Second attack is an 18.
So both will hit.
All right.
So for the first attack, 8 bludgeoning and 1 radiant off Heaven's Fall, plus 1 extra point of radiant for my improved divine strikes is 10 total damage. I am going to drop a level 2 divine smite on it.
Ooh.
That will add an additional 26 radiant, so the total on that blow is 36 radiant damage. My second hit does... numbers are okay. Fuck it. Okay, so 8 bludgeoning and 2 radiant damage for another 10, and I'm going to go ahead and drop another level 2 divine smite on it. A total of 15 more radiant for 25 damage on the second shot.
I mean, it's serendipity. It only had 25 hit points left. So
wow.
Nice.
You have ended this demon's existence.
Yes. Okay.
And ended a lot of my second level spell slots too. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that is my turn. I stay where I am.
It is now Garak Newell's turn.
Uh-oh.
It watches this Hezru turn to slime, and it just sort of sneers at you, Renaissance. But its eyes trace back to Corbin, and it readies its attacks, all 6 of them, on you, Corbin.
Oh, 6?
Oh, no.
God.
Well, all 6 of its swords and sickles.
It has lots of hands, right?
Right.
It does.
Yeah.
And you can also see that it has a sort of a snake-like tail behind it, which it actually uses first. It uses its tail to try to whip itself around Corbin first.
Oh, no.
That's a 16 to hit.
My armor class is 18. That bounces right off my breastplate. Yes.
The tail misses you, and then it continues on with its barrage of 6 sword and sickle attacks. 5 out of the 6.
Oh, come on.
Damn.
So, Matt, just a heads up, I will use my reaction to throw Gargs in front of the first shot that hits him.
Okay.
To intercept that one, I'll give you the damage reduction. So that takes 14 points off of the first shot against him.
Thanks, Gargs. I mean, Ren.
I mean, yeah, it's Renaissance. Yeah, he's just stuck on my arm. He wouldn't have helped you.
He might have. You don't know.
Garg says,
I absolutely wouldn't. Are you kidding me? Have you seen him?
That is 53 damage.
Ooh.
Oh, oh, oh. You watch Corbin get peppered from this
God.
Thing.
Ow, ow, ow. Terrible.
So I think you're going to have to make
5
some constitution saving throws here for your spirit guardians.
You will have +4s on all of them.
So the first one's a 17. The second one's a 25. 22 for the third one. 14 for the fourth one. And the last one is a 23.
So the DC for all 5 strikes was 10.
Warcaster, I made them all.
Amazing.
Spirit Guardian stays.
Ophelia, you're up.
Okay, I move into the Spirit Guardians.
Oh, Matt, you didn't give him his Spirit Guardian saving throw.
21.
3 points of radiant damage.
I scowl at Corbin.
Ophelia runs east and then south, actually, so that she is parallel to Garak Newell. She's going to cast Lightning Bolt.
Yeah.
Dexterity saving throw of 22.
Okay, so that'll be enough to save, but you'll still take half damage on 33 lightning damage.
That's 16.
And that is the end of my turn.
My Twilight Aura is like 5 feet from you. Is that as far as you can go?
I know, it's so close.
Corbin, you're up.
Corbin is going to swing around, so he'll be flanking with Renaissance, and he is going to reach out a big hand, and he is going to cast Inflict Wounds at 4th level.
Yes.
Oh, here we go. A 25.
25 with advantage will hit.
Yes.
Nice, Corbin. Nice.
That is 33 necrotic damage.
Big hit. See a vulnerable area on this creature, and you swat away an entire swath of his skin and flesh.
And then I'm going to, with my bonus action, I'm going to bring my pillow up. That's a 13's going to miss, I would guess.
Yes, unfortunately, the 13 will miss.
And then I'm going to roll my temporary hit points and die on the next round.
No.
Ooh, 18 temps. Everyone in the aura will get 18.
Thank you.
All right, Hylan, you're up.
Okay, I'm going to fly 30 feet north, so 30. On the last 5 feet, I'm going to go diagonally west a little bit. And I can taste the sneak attack. So I'm going to manifest a blade and throw it at Garak Newell. That's an 18 to hit?
So what happens at that moment in time is you throw the psychic blade.
Mm-hmm.
The blade seems to hone in directly. At the last moment, Garak Nuul parries as a reaction with his swords, and the psychic dagger splinters and flies into pieces.
Can you try homing strikes?
If he parried it, I don't think I can homing strike that, can I?
Usually a parry is just to jack up the armor class, right, Matt?
That is correct. Its AC in fact go up.
I have homing strikes where I can roll a psionic energy die to add to my roll, but I don't know if a parry interrupts that or if I could still do that. If you make an attack roll and miss the target, you can roll one psionic energy die and add the number rolled to the attack roll. If this the attack to hit, you expend the die.
If you make this homing strike and it goes above the AC that this creature's possessing right now, then it will hit and you'll expend the die.
So I see it honing in, and then I see that he's taking a reaction that might deflect it. So I'm going to call on Grandfather and use a psionic energy die to see if I can add to my roll and hit. That adds 8 to my roll, so that would be a 26 to hit.
That will hit. So absolutely, nice. You time it out exactly perfectly.
Nice. Fantastic. Woo! 8 psychic damage and 22 sneak attack for a total of 30 on that hit. And then I'm going to make one more, believe, and throw that. That's 28 to hit.
28 will hit.
That does 7 psychic damage, and I'm going to stay where I am.
18 temps.
Thank
Renaissance,
you.
It's your turn.
Well, I saw that parry. I don't have homing strikes. So I point my 2 fingers straight above my head, and I say, I am the Watcher. My enemies are cunning and deceptive. And
yes.
I drop a moonbeam on it.
Ooh.
It's sort of dead center through the middle of the creature. Yeah, it's going to have to deal with that on its turn. I don't know if this is the case at all, but the other weird knock-on effect that it has is if it is a shape changer, it's forced to go back to whatever its real shape is.
That is true, yeah. Unfortunately, this doesn't seem to have any effect on it, at least immediately, anyway.
It doesn't get prettier.
Yeah, no, I wish it did.
Any better.
It is now Garak Nuul's turn.
Saving throws.
Yep. So wisdom saving throw for your spirit guardians, and then I believe constitution save for the moonbeam.
Yeah, that's true.
For the spirit guardians, it failed.
Ooh.
For the moonbeam, it succeeded.
21 radiant from the spirit guardians.
And only 8 radiant from the moonbeam.
So it's a total of 29 damage it took just by standing there.
We are burning him up.
It seems pretty much focused on you for some reason, Corbin.
But
so it's
him.
Going to do
not me.
The... But here we go.
Oh, shit. I should have got next to you. I'm sorry.
First attack is with its tail. It's attempting to wrap its tail around you and crush you with it. That's a crit.
Oh, come
no.
on. Oh, God damn it.
Oh, no. No.
Bludgeoning damage isn't that bad, surprisingly. Only 19 bludgeoning damage.
Only.
Oh, that's it.
But you are grappled and restrained, which means
he has advantage.
Every single
attack. Grabbing you.
All my temps are gone.
And now it will take 6 attacks with advantage on you with its swords and sickles.
It hit me 5 times last time without advantage. So.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, no. For God's sake.
Okay, so let me tell you what happened here with my attacks. With advantage, I got 2 crits.
No!
All right, Corbin's down.
Corbin could be more than down.
Well, it could be more than down, yeah.
No!
So we're going to find out what happens here in just a sec. So the first attack is a crit.
No.
And that does 27 slashing damage. Let's just go blow by blow here for a sec.
Okay.
Still up after that?
I have 9 hit points.
All right.
Second attack with advantage was a 23. That brings you down, Corbin. 18 slashing damage.
All right, so yeah, that puts me at 0.
The third attack he missed, surprisingly. The fourth attack, however, was a crit.
So that's 2 failed death saves.
And I think we all know what happens after that.
Immortal.
Oh my god.
So Corbin, unfortunately, falls. And this thing minces him. That is Garak Nuul's turn. As Corbin falls, I wouldn't say necessarily in one piece, Garak Nuul lifts its hyena canine head to the skies and howls.
I'm gonna kill this thing.
Ophelia, it is your turn.
Ophelia immediately shoots forth from her hands a bolt of lightning and screams in rage.
Dexterity saving throw. It fails with a 13.
It is gonna take 31 lightning damage.
Yes!
Anything else, Ophelia?
She's gonna rush to Corbin's side. So I'm now flanking as well with Renaissance.
Through gritted teeth, I say, Ophelia, can I get some inspiration?
What little I have to give, it is yours. And I give you a bardic inspiration.
Awesome.
Hyland, you're up.
I started out being full of rage as I saw this, and then I just became crushed. And I feel like I understand a little more of the pain that Zariel felt, having to see this all the time at the hands of demons. Mm. It is heart-wrenchingly awful, but I know I can see Renaissance and Ophelia still there, and I can't give up, and I need to crush this thing to keep them safe. So I'm going to make a blade and throw it at this demon and hopefully hit it. That's an 18 to hit.
When you throw the blade, it parries yet again.
And then I'm going to ask Grandfather for the strength again. Blue will course through my wings, and I will use homing strikes again.
Do it.
And expend a die. That makes it a 21.
Unfortunately, that is not enough to go above the AC that it did when it parried.
If only someone had a special helmet that could add 10 points.
I have a special helmet. That's right. I can use it.
You can use it.
I use my Helm of Torm's Sight to give you a plus 10 bonus to the roll.
Amazing. Oh, Torm, I'm at the depths of my despair, and I feel like I tried to fight through it, and I couldn't. And then Grandfather's good friend Torm sends some assistance my way, and I feel the light, and my blade in midair just shifts and hits with a 28.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, there's like a glow of ethereal light as you throw the dagger. The dagger does in fact shatter, but the shards of it just explode into this creature's face.
I love it. That's 8 psychic damage and 18 sneak attack for 26 shard damage. And I just say, thank you, Ophelia, under my breath. And then I make a second blade and throw that, and that's gonna miss with a 13.
Unfortunately, yes.
And I'm gonna stay where I am.
Renaissance, you're up.
From my current position, am I flanking with Ophelia?
Yes, you are.
I'm gonna try going after it with Heaven's Fall. First attack with advantage is a 21.
So here's the thing about Marilith demons. You'd think, well, as a reaction, you should only be able to use it until the next turn in combat. But they have a special ability called Reactive, which allows them to take a single reaction on every turn in combat. So it's going to try to parry your blade, and it does so and adds a certain amount to its AC, which unfortunately, therefore, deflects your attack.
Understood, but the thing about Ophelia is she gave me bardic inspiration last round.
Yeah.
So I'm going to add that to this attack roll.
D10.
Okay, that adds 7 to my roll, making it a 28.
Yes, the bardic inspiration gives you the advantage that you need in order to get past this parry.
In that case, that does hit. It does 9 bludgeoning and a total of 6 radiant for 15 damage. And I'm going to drop a level 3 divine smite.
Yes.
Yeah, another 25, so that's 40 damage total. And I bet you're out of reactions, bitch. So I'm swinging again with Heaven's Fall. Oh, but I miss. I miss for the 9.
Oh no.
I'm out of gimmicks to pull out of my pocket on that, so.
Listen, that was a damn good hit, though.
Pretty good, though.
Garrock Newell, it is now his. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. You guys have been pretty goddamn amazing with taking this thing down, even though it took out Corbin.
So I will say, Matt, it did not get out of the way of my moonbeam.
No, exactly. So it's going
so
to have
it does
to make
have,
a...
Start out with a con save, yeah.
Yep, con save. Here it comes. That is a 26 on the con save.
Totally makes it, but it does take 6 more radiant.
I'd say just by looking at it, you think that this thing is on its last legs. And it's going to make a decision as to whether or not to continue with you folks or not. Wisdom saving throw. It makes it with a 23. So Garrock Newell sees that he's totally surrounded, and then he looks at you with disdain and uses his action to teleport away.
Oh, you fucker.
All right, as soon as it vanishes, I run towards Corbin.
Yes, I land and run over there.
Hi, everybody. The show will be back shortly for the second half. Hey, have you had a chance to check out our other ongoing actual play series, To Slay a Dragon, presented by Cast Party and EN Publishing? You can check out the first 2 episodes right here in this feed. We would love to know what you think of them. Cast Party's holiday one-shot deal is back. Right now, you can book a 3-to-4-hour one-shot online adventure for 3-to-7 players with one of our amazing professional dungeon masters for just $60 total. That is as little as $8.50 per player.
I can't think of a better holiday gift than friendship, fun, killing monsters, finding treasure, and saving the day. If there's somebody in your life who would enjoy an adventure, you can book it now by emailing us at info@cast-party.com before January 1st. Mention Holiday One Shot in the subject line. You can also buy this gift for yourself, of course. We won't judge. We have a live event coming up for those of you in the New York City metro area this winter. You can join Cast Party for an evening of dragon slaying, dungeon delving, treasure hunting adventure at the Good Witch at 134 Southside Avenue in Hastings on Hudson, New York on January 6th, 2024. Our professional dungeon masters will lead your party through a tabletop adventure. No previous D&D experience necessary. Admission includes a 3-hour Dungeons & Dragons experience with a professional dungeon master, possibly yours truly, or Matt Gordon, or Andy Canistra. A delicious drink and snack, courtesy of the Good Witch, plus a few surprises. The Good Witch is located just a short train ride from NYC in historic Hastings on Hudson Station on the Metro North Hudson Line. If you're planning to attend with a group, we'll make sure you're seated with your friends and family. If you're a new player or you're attending alone, no problem. We'll make sure that you're at a table to suit your experience level. This event is for ages 18 and up. Tickets are on sale now at cast-party.com/live-events. Do you ever feel like you have a great visual picture in your head, but you need a little help putting it into words? Well, with a subscription to Describe, you can access thousands of descriptions of monsters, spells, locations, and more, as well as maps, music, and sound effects to enhance your games, only at Describe.com. That's Descryb.com. Would you like 10% off that subscription? Follow the link in the show notes and use the discount code CASTPARTY, all one word, all caps, to save 10% on your first subscription. Check us out at cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, on TikTok at Cast_Party, or on Threads at Cast_Party. As always, we're offering monthly free adventures with our Dungeon Masters. These free games fill up quickly, so if you'd like to grab a spot, you should join our email list or our Discord server. Links to both can be found at cast-party.com. Our annual year-end episode of Power Word Talk is coming up shockingly quickly. If you have questions about the podcast that you'd like us to answer on the show, email them to us at info@cast-party.com or message me with them on Discord if you're in Cast Party's Discord server. You can watch episodes of Podcast Party on YouTube, complete with artwork, battle maps, character portraits, and even a little bit of animation. Check the show notes for the link or visit cast-party.com. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. Message us on social media or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, or on TikTok at Cast_Party, or on Threads at Cast_Party. Thanks very much for listening. And now back to our adventure in Idle Glen. I pull out the one remaining diamond that we have in our party.
Yes.
I kiss my hand. I bring it to my chest. I say, I hope I remember how to do this, Corbin. Last diamond, brother. And I cast Revivify on him. I'm Watcher. I'm the shield. Stay true to your order, your comrades, and your duty.
Corbin, the last 10 seconds have gone normally for your compatriots, but for you, it's been a different experience. After your vision turned to red, and you felt the edges of these swords biting into your flesh and fell to the ground, you just lost your whole world. When your eyes reopened, however, you were back in that very finely furnished room, sitting at that long ebony table. A feast laid before you. And sitting at the far end of the room, on the other side of the table, is Cassandra. Corbin, I guess things didn't work out after all. And she stands up, and you just hear the click, click, click of her heels as she walks slowly towards you. Her eyes begin to glow with hellish fury as her hand raises to your chest. You feel this intense sucking sensation as your soul is being pulled from your body.
No, don't. I'm trying to, don't.
her hand is still glowing. You feel this intense burning sensation in your chest, and she waits for you to continue.
You want what you want, right? If you just give it a few seconds, I have faith in my friend, Renaissance, that he'll help me.
You are such a disappointment to me, Corbin. Remember our bargain.
Right, and I'm keeping it, but if you attack me now, you'll be breaking the contract, and then you can't have my soul. So give me a chance. I trust him. I trust
That's
him. I trust him.
Not what the contract says, Corbin Shiv, but you seem to have utter faith in your companions to get you out of this sticky mess.
I'm not a person who has faith in anyone, but if someone will bring me back, it will be Ren. I know it. I finally have faith in him completely. Just give it a few seconds.
Cassandra sort of tilts her head as almost like she hears something, and her eyes scan the ceiling of the room, and then they focus back on you. She says, "Well, you're not wrong all the time, Corbin. Looks like they're trying to bring you back. Before you leave," and her hand stops glowing, "know this, a promise is a promise, Corbin. You will fulfill the contract." And then the burning sensation in your chest ceases, and your eyes close. There is blackness before you, and you feel a rush of air go back into your lungs as you sit up. One hit point.
Corbin, oh, thank God. Ren, thank you.
Corbin just, in his sitting position, just leans over and just gives Ren a big hug.
I knew you'd do it. I knew it.
You gave us quite a scare there, Corbin.
I'm going to cast Cure Wounds on him.
Where's the monster?
I'm sorry, that's only 4 hit points, but that's all I can do.
It's all right. Are we still fighting? Where's the monster?
Actually, make a perception check.
Corbin rolled a 25 with his perception.
Island got a 19.
Ophelia got a 21.
Renaissance lays hands on Corbin for 20 hit points. And
yes.
Renaissance got a 17 on his perception check.
There are people that are funneling out of this building to the east. They all seem to be wearing common garments. None of them seem to wear any kind of martial vestments at all. The only person of note is that woman who has come out from the temple wearing the garments of Lathander. She scans around and she closes her eyes and then reopens them a moment later. The four of you notice that there is a glowing plaque that you guys did not see before. Partially because it was covered in dust and soot, but there is a glowing plaque at the foot of the statue of Zariel in front of you. The plaque says, "Zariel, guardian of Idleglen, offer prayers to Lathander, and his light will shield thee."
What's that?
I think we better pray. Come on. I sort of drag everyone towards in front of the statue.
We follow.
I'll try laying hands on the plaque and praying.
Go ahead and just make religion checks.
Corbin's really bad at prayer, so he's going to give himself guidance.
22 for Ophelia.
I start praying, and I feel like I'm trying to work up the emotion to do it, and I feel like I can't, so I ask for some more help, and I'm going to add a die to my roll to pray a little bit better and wake up a little bit. So that is a 21 for Highland.
Yeah, Renaissance tries, but it just feels too much like the thousands of times he tried to pray at the shrine in Baldur's Gate and never felt anything. So he got a 5.
Corbin doesn't quite remember his prayers, but he gives himself guidance to help. And with guidance, he has a 17.
As a group religion check, I think that it's still successful.
Awesome.
When the four of you together offer your own personal prayers, the statue of Zariel begins to slowly glow with an opalescent light. The woman runs out from behind the statue and begins to converse with you.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, please, please come inside. If this is like last time, I don't think we have a whole lot of time before. Well, just come on.
And she ushers the four of you back towards the group of commoners. You do, in fact, see that woman who you saved who was under the cart as well. She's hugging a small boy to her chest.
How many other people are in here?
30 or 40.
I look around. You said that there's only a little time. They'll be back.
She says, yes, the worst is yet to come, unfortunately. We must ask Lathander for succor. Will you aid me?
Of course.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
anything.
She turns to her flock and she says, "People of Idleglen, we know
that the demons of the abyss come to us and desecrate our town because of our connection with the great angel Zariel. She will come as she has done in times past, but we must pray to the Morning Lord and offer our true faith and obeisance. And all of the members of this town fall to their knees and hold their hands, closing their eyes. I would like each of you to let me know what you say as a prayer to the Morning Lord.
Morning Lord, I know all this is just a memory, something that's already happened, it's fixed, and we wasn't really here. So I don't know if we can help these people, seeing that whatever's happened to them has already happened, it's already written. But if we can help, then we ask that you help us to help them.
Morning Lord, I'm a pain bearer of Vilmalta, and as you probably know, we dedicate our lives to helping the poor, the downtrodden, those who need help. And I truly believe that I've been trying my best to do that. And here I am again, and all these people, any help you could give, I'll be willing to stand here and fight for them again. Give my life if I have to. Sorry, I'm not good with my words. Just trying to do what's right.
Morning Lord, I'm new to this world of religion, but so far Torm's guided me, and he's never led me wrong, and I don't believe you would either. All I want to do is help these people. I don't know how we can help them, but whatever we can do, please just give us your blessing, give us your strength, and I will do my best to use my powers for good.
Morning Lord, I serve Bahamut. My heart and my blades belong to him, but he is above all a protector of the weak and a champion of the just. He would want this town to be protected, so I humbly pray with all my heart to you for assistance. There's been so much death and suffering. Please help put an end to it.
With the four of you completing your prayers, the woman stands before the townspeople and smiles as she sees that the glow of the statue begins to grow brighter. And the townspeople lift themselves off their knees and begin to exhale gasps of joy. This priest of Lathander says, "Lathander's blessing! Yes, Lathander's blessing is upon us! The Morning Lord has shown us that the night will grow darker still, but that beyond the darkness awaits a glorious dawn. Zariel will come to us, but we must persevere until she does." And she points to a sliver of glowing light forming at the top of the statue's head and slowly expanding downwards. She looks to you and says, "Heroes, we must protect this beacon of light and hope, and it will protect us in turn and allow for Lathander's dawn to reach us." And although it is not yet dawn, you can see that the night is slowly turning from purple to a faint hue of rosy red on the horizon. She says, "You are wounded. Please rest while you can. I fear that more enemies will fall upon us before it is over."
Okay, short rest, anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do a short rest, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, you guys probably would be welcomed into the Temple of Lathander, at which point you could do a short rest to heal up for certain.
Right.
I actually was not wounded, and I don't have any abilities that need recharging on a short rest, so I will try to talk to the priest. Essentially, I would like to describe for her Lulu and the other Hell Riders that I know should be part of this story, like Yael and Olanthius and Haruman, and see if she recognizes their names or their descriptions. Like, are they here somewhere?
She sort of scrunches up her face, and she doesn't look like she recognizes any of those figures.
I say, "What caused this?" I sort of gesture around. "The inferno, the demon."
"We do not know. So, they've been rampaging through the countryside. I know that for certain."
Do I know, Matt? Like, do I have any recollection of a demonic incursion during this period that I know what's going on here?
Well, like we said before, there was indeed a very unfortunate circumstance regarding this town. The details of it are somewhat hazy. You know that many, many people died in the demonic attack on Idle Glen. The amount of people and how bad it got, so to speak, before Zariel arrived is not distinctly clear.
Right. I just meant, like, do I know, like, what's the target here? I mean, is it the statue? Why this town? Do I know that?
Great question. The statue itself seems to emanate a magical protective quality that seems to have now been reignited by the faith of these people. It seems to be a beacon of sorts that protects the town and potentially could summon Zariel to protect it once again.
So maybe it's to draw her out. Maybe that's why. Maybe Yenigu knows that.
That's plausible.
All right. I thank the priestess and I will return to my companions.
As you walk back to your companions, that woman stops you. That woman whose life you saved by fending off the demonic foes as they attempted to tear her apart under that cart. And she rushes over to you and without a word just hugs you. She says, I don't care what you look like. I don't care if you're a demon or a devil. You saved my life. You saved the life of my son. And she points to a young human boy who stands perhaps 5-10 feet from you, who looks sheepishly at you.
Means more to me than you know, ma'am. But don't mention it. All right, lad?
No. We have to be thankful. Come, Kareth, come over here.
And a young boy, perhaps 10 or 11, with long, dark hair and piercing blue eyes, looks up at you and says, I like your horns.
I kneel in front of him and I say, what's your name?
My name?
Yeah.
It's Kareth.
Yeah, right. I put one hand on his shoulder. It's nice to meet you, Kareth. You look after your mum, right?
I have to.
Yeah, you do. It's sort of important for me personally that you make it out of here.
I just met you though, but thanks.
It's all right. You'll see me again in about 20 years, but I might not recognize you.
Hopefully, you're as cool then as you are now.
Count on it.
He smiles at you.
All right. You look after your mum.
He smiles, nods, and then looks over at Ophelia and says, Mum, and he sort of like grabs her by the sleeve. I bet you 5 gold that she's like a really cool bard. I bet you can sing, she sings like a ton of really cool, can I go over to her and just ask her to sing a song? No, things are very dangerous here, Kareth, but she's like a bard, Mum. I really wanted, Kareth, we talked about this. We talked about, all right, Mum, I'm sorry.
And just like kicks an imaginary stone and then just walks off.
Oi, Kareth, come here.
Turns around.
I hand him a little pinch of salt and I say, you hang on to that. Dust of dryness. Dehydrated holy water. Extremely useful.
Boy looks down at the dust of dryness, looks up at you and he says, stop pulling my leg.
No, I ain't. You need holy water. You just throw that into a barrel, a cup or something. Don't just throw that on the ground. Waste. But hang on to it.
Boy sort of tucks it into his pouch and says, right.
Right, good lad. Off you go.
And then he just follows his mother.
Looks like 3 people died here.
Yes, unfortunately, when the Hezru broke into the temple, it began to slaughter the townspeople. It was only through Hylan's courage that this demon stopped destroying the temple and all the people within.
Corbin would like to gather the 3 people and put them together and lay them down and cover their faces and plop himself down on the ground next to them and look around at the townspeople, look at the dead bodies.
I never quite got it before, but I see their faces. I don't really remember the last rites prayer very well, but I'm going to do my best. And I hope all your souls go someplace nice.
And Corbin will just quietly pray for these 3 people who passed.
I would like to go over to Renaissance, give Renaissance a big hug, a really, really strong hug. And then I would like to go over to Corbin, put my hand on his shoulder while he's kneeling down and putting these people to rest and just say, I love you, Corbin, and I'm glad you're back. And then I'm going to go over to Ophelia and say, thank you for sharing your strength with me. You really helped a lot. And then I'm going to go to the front of the statue and just sort of kneel down at the feet of the statue and look up at it and just say, I don't know what the answer is. There's so much pain and suffering and sadness. And I don't understand why does the world have to be like the worlds? Why do the worlds contain so much suffering and we can't fix all of it? We can't even fix a fraction of it. I just know that the answer can't be to become part of the perpetration of that suffering. But I understand the pain that you feel and as much as I can, and I understand the rage that you feel and the powerlessness. And I wish there was some way that I could help you and convince you that there's an easy solution and you should just come back to the light and then everyone will be okay. And I can't. I don't have that answer, and now I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help you, and I just know that the solution can't be to just be a more powerful cog in the machinations of war. I think you're in this war for what you think are the right reasons, that you picked the right side. But that can't be the answer.
As much as you would have hoped there would be some response, the sad truth is that there is none.
I just sit there. I don't have anything left. Whether I know why it is or not, whether I understand or not, as long as I have a hand, I'm going to keep reaching it out to save a person that needs me until I'm gone. And that's it.
Ophelia will say a short prayer to Torm. Torm, I don't know why you chose me. I don't know what makes me worthy of your helm, but I will try to do my best to help these people and to help the others as well. Please guide us best that you can. Thank you.
One little thing Corbin would like to do after he finishes his last rites, he'd like to find Renaissance.
Ren?
Yeah?
You saved me. Thank you. I knew you would. I don't have faith in many people in this world or any world, but I knew you'd save me. You saved me in a way I can't explain, but I'll never forget that. He gives him a big hug.
I hug him back. You saved yourself, Corbin. Only learned that ritual from watching you do it with Ophelia.
Well, we're out of diamonds now, so we might be fucked at this point.
Right, watch our asses now.
Right.
You look out at the edge of town through the smoke and haze of the fires that are burning still, although members of the town have spread out to try to douse much of the destruction and fire. You all begin to hear a sound that at first you're not quite sure what its source is, but as it grows in volume and intensity, you begin to hear cackling, an incessant, insane laughter that echoes out over the entire town. As this laughter gets louder and louder, you begin to see on the far western fringe of Idle Glen, six figures walking through the flames. A hulking, ape-like brute, approximately 10 feet tall, and five small dog-like creatures with rubbery gray bodies and rather large ears. And cackles in the distance signal that more, perhaps much, much more of their kind are on the way.
The priest is standing in front of us. Can we just ask her to get behind us?
Yes, absolutely. The priest supports you in the rear ranks. Absolutely. Along the way, I think that you come to introduce yourself to this person and you find that her name is Jessa. Jessa Brightstar. The name actually is quite familiar to you when she introduces herself to you, in that Jessa Brightstar is, in fact, the descendant of Solndor Brightstar, who led the people many years ago in prayer to Lathander for aid. And in doing so, sent the angel Zariel to defeat the forces of darkness who came to Idle Glen all those years ago. So Jessa is Solndor's descendant.
As we see them approaching, I'm going to click my platinum ring together with Highland's platinum ring and cast Warding Bond. That'll be my last third level spell slot. Thanks for listening. This episode featured the Dungeon Master stylings of Matt Gordon, with Andy Canistra as Painbearer Corbin Shiv, Carolyn Fox as Hylan, Rachel Tamarin as Ophelia, and me, Tal Avi Azer, as Renaissance. This episode was edited by me and Carolyn Fox. Our original theme music is by Lauren Anker and Anthony DeMasso. Some sound effects in this episode are courtesy of Sirenscape. Remember, if you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with episode 3 of To Slay a Dragon, and in 4 weeks with episode 73 of Descent into Avernus. Matt, just a heads up, I will use my reaction to throw Gargs in front of the first shot that hits him.
Okay.
To intercept that one, I'll give you the damage reduction. So that takes 14 points off of the first shot against him.
Thanks, Gargs. I mean, Ren.
I mean, yeah, it's Renaissance. Yeah, he's just stuck on my arm. He wouldn't have helped you.
He might have. You don't know.
Garg says, I absolutely wouldn't. Are you kidding me? Have you seen him? Jesus. I mean, well, why? Take that Jesus out. Sorry.
Yeah. Who's Jesus?